This is the homily for the Solemnity of Mary, the Most Holy Mother of God, 2026, at St. Anselm's Abbey. The readings for the day's Mass are the Book of Numbers, chapter 6, verses 22 to 27. The letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. The homilist was Father Ignacio Gonzalez.
A little over 20 years ago, I had a conversation with a dear friend who had been raised Catholic. But the priestly sexual abuse scandal so disgusted her that she left the Catholic Church. She found a home in a Bible-only evangelical church where everyone was alive with the faith. They all loved Jesus and they all loved their Bibles that were well marked with notes and highlighted passages. We will call her Alice. And Alice learned the gospel in a way that was rooted in the Bible alone as the sole rule of faith. So as a Catholic who was returning to my roots at the time, she wanted me to avoid what she had been taught in her new church about the errors of Catholicism. What errors? I asked her. Well, she said, let's start with Mary. Great place to start, was my reply. If not for Mary, then we wouldn't know who Jesus is, because Mary is the Mother of God. Let me stop you right there, she said. Mary is not the Mother of God. She's only the Mother of Jesus. So, Jesus isn't God, I asked. Well, yes, but God has no mother. So then Jesus isn't God? Well, of course he is, but he doesn't have a mother. Back then, I didn't know the Bible nearly as well as I should have, and I still don't. So I didn't have the biblical foundation to say that Mary is the Mother of God. We get this in our second reading today from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. When the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. God sent his Son, born of a woman. Many years later, in the last theology class I took at the Catholic University of America before becoming ordained a priest, we looked at that passage. My professor said that Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, and this is how you can remember it, Galatians 4, 4, is the first dogmatic pronunciation about Mary. And a student, it wasn't me, objected. Isn't the first dogmatic pronouncement about Mary that she is the Theotokos from the Council of Ephesus in 431? Because that was the chapter we were reading about the four Marian dogmas of the Church. Yes, you are correct, the professor said. But the biblical dogmatic foundation goes all the way back to St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, which he wrote in the mid-50s. So in my conversation with my friend, I wish I had that passage at the ready to help her understand why the Catholics say that Mary is the Mother of God. Still, she would have dismissed it, saying that the Catholics were wrong, because her interpretation was this. A mother precedes her child. That is, the mother is before the child is born, and so the mother is older. But God is eternal, has no beginning. So to say that Mary is the Mother of God is to say that someone is older than God, and that cannot be true. But Jesus is the eternal Logos that we read in yesterday's Gospel Mass from the beginning of John. En arche en ho logos, kai ho logos en proston theon, kai theos en ho logos. That is the original Greek. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God always existed. In my friend's understanding from her Bible-only church, Mary then is not the Mother of God, only the Mother of Jesus. The Mother of Jesus is all she is. So there's the rub. Mary is only the Mother of Jesus, but not the Mother of God, and to say that then is to say that Jesus is not God. If that were the case, then John would be wrong to say that Jesus is the eternal Logos, And Paul would not have written anything about how we receive adoption as children of God. And this is the key. Through baptism, we receive adoption as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So what then of Mary? How do we solve the conundrum that a mother precedes her child who is born from her? God the Father has no mother, but God the Son does. Because God the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary when she gave God permission by saying, I am the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done to me according to your word. Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Mary is unique in the whole order of creation, which we see in Gabriel's greeting to her at the Annunciation, Luke 1:26 or 1:28. I've got to go back and look. Kaire ke karitomine hokuria metasu. That word, ke karitomine, is a hapax legomenon, a word that appears in Scripture only once describing who Mary is. I'm going to get a bit technical here. I do teach at the Abbey School, so this is the level that we teach our students. The word is a perfect participle, perfect passive participle, a past action that has already been completed with ongoing effects in the present. St. Jerome translated the word kekaritomine into gratia plena, from which we get full of grace in the Hail Mary prayer. And that's a smoother way than saying kaire kekaritomine. Hello, you who were and continue to be fully graced, would be the greeting, but that's a bit clunky. Hokuria metasu, the Lord is with you. This is the very first time that we see Mary in Scripture. And from the very beginning of God's written word, we see that she was and continues to be unique. So much so that the angel Gabriel greets her by a title, recognizing how God and the angels see her, as one whom from her beginning has been graced and continues to be graced. Back then to the conversation I had with Alice, who said she refused to say that Mary is the mother of God. I can only say she is the mother of Jesus, she said. Therein lies the difficulty of Bible-only Christianity, which takes Scripture at its word, but doesn't open it to the consequences. Now I can hear the objection saying, hold on, Father, we take Scripture at its word when it points to Jesus. And my Catholic reply is, yes, exactly. When it points to Jesus and the consequences of whom he is. Our Lord and Savior always existed. In the beginning was the Word. But as St. Paul writes in today's letter, in the fullness of time, God sent his Son, born of a woman, under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. And by sons, of course, Paul means sons and daughters. And as proof that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, he sent his Son's Spirit into our hearts so that we can cry out, Abba, Father. So we are no longer slaves, but children. And if children, then also heirs to the riches of his kingdom. That is the mandate for us, to cooperate with God and to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And at every Mass, we experience the riches of what that means when we unite ourselves to his Son who is God, his Son whose mother is Mary, his Son who therefore makes Mary the mother of God. Thus, when I looked over the readings for today, I thought we would get Luke chapter 2, the visitation, where we hear Elizabeth say, who am I that the mother of my Lord should visit me? But the church does something deliberate today. The church gives us shepherds who say nothing, a child who cannot yet speak, and a mother who treasures all these events in her heart. That choice is not omission, but theology. This first day of the new year is the eighth day of Christmas. And so before the church says who Jesus is, we must first receive that he is, born of a woman under the law, as St. Paul teaches. And in today's gospel, the shepherds go to see, and they return glorifying God. They do not analyze the mystery. They do not interpret Mary. They do not define the child only as son of Mary. They stand before the Christ child and let the reality of his newborn presence work on them. And then the Blessed Mother does the same. She kept all these things, pondering them in her heart, a heart that would be pierced by a sword at her son's crucifixion. From the time of Mary being overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, she became the Mother of God, a title defined to protect the truth that the child is one person, not divided, fully God, fully man. It would take 431 years for the church to define this because people, like my friend, split Jesus' humanity from his divinity. As in, Mary is the mother of the human part of Jesus. But Jesus is fully God and fully man, one God, one person with two natures. And we reflect that by having an immortal soul that does not die in a body that will die. At the visitation, Elizabeth's words are true. The mother of her Lord did visit her. But Mary's silence in today's gospel teaches us so much more about who she is. Because Mary is our model. She does not rush to speak. She guards what she has been given until the time comes for the church to speak clearly. For us here at the Abbey, this order is not theoretical. This order is our life. We begin with listening, not assertion, with custody, not commentary, with obedience, not explanation. The rule, the office, the day itself are all received before they are understood, because our patron Saint Anselm articulated it so well, fides quadans intellectum, faith seeking understanding. And our monastery must continue to be a counterweight to the power and pressure that affects everyone in our nation's capital. The Capitol building is a magnet of power and influence. And so our city and nation and the world begins the new year by asserting itself, naming its goals, projecting outcomes, and even defining identity according to one's feelings rather than according to objective reality that can be discerned by the senses. And yet we, tucked away in our little corner of the District Columbia, begin the new year in our small chapel, standing before a child who is silent and cannot yet speak, before a mother who is silent and treasures all these things in her holy and immaculate heart. Today's solemnity of Mary, the Holy Mother of God, teaches us once again that salvation does not come by control. Salvation comes by accepting and receiving the child whose birth we celebrated a week ago. So we are here this morning to begin the new year as the Church wants us to, and to live our faith, not by mastering time, but by receiving the God who entered time quietly. The God who was named in obedience and who was pondered by his mother in silence. Only later will the church raise her voice and say plainly what was already true. Mary is the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Happy New Year, everyone. May the Mother of God intercede for us and lead us always to her divine Son. And through her motherly intercession, may all Christians who know Jesus to be God honor his mother as he does. Amen.